Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But last week, we started our new series at the movies. Every week, there will be free popcorn, candy, and soda. It's to round out the whole going to the movies experience. I'm sorry there's no soft pretzels, but if you want to bring some and share with me, that'd be fantastic. But at this whole thing, what we're doing with At the Movies is because we're trying to take popular movies and we're going to pull biblical truth from them. And last week, we talked about the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And so it's not one of the new ones because I know that they've remade it, you know, over and over again. No, we are talking the crazy, weird, fever dream that is the 1970s film. I had a couple people come to me and say, hey, I went back and watched that movie. And yeah, it's weird. It's definitely a weird film, but it definitely is one that captures the imagination. And so we watched a clip from that movie. It's near the end of the movie, where Wonka tells Charlie, that's it, you've lost. And we get this whole like crazy yelling scene where he's like, you lose, you're out. And we got to look at that. And he was telling him, you're not going to get the life supply of chocolate because you broke the rules. So Charlie, he ended up breaking the rules and he's being told he gets nothing. But before Charlie leaves, disappointed, he goes and he takes this super secret candy called the Everlasting Gobstopper. And instead of giving it to somebody that would give him wealth and fame and whatever, he decides, I'm going to give this back to Wonka. And so Charlie cares for Wonka and says, I'm not going to betray you. I'm going to be loyal to you. And so what happens is Wonka gets to see the heart of Charlie. And he says to him, you know what? You've won. Even though you made a mistake, your heart is for me and not against me. And when looking at this part of the movie, we feel like Charlie. Because when we sin, when we mess up, we think God is saying to us, that's it. You've lost. You messed up. You're out. You're no longer loved. You're no longer saved. But the truth is, we are saved not by our actions, but by God's grace through our faith. God wants our hearts. He wants us. And when we love God, yeah, we're going to follow His commands as much as we can. But more importantly, it's not about doing a checklist of good things. Well, I've done more good than bad, so I'm good to go. No, we're to give our whole being to Him, our hearts, our minds, and our soul. And the truth of the matter is that we all have fallen short. We all have sinned, and we've all done wrong against God. But God sent His Son Jesus to die for us while we were still sinning against Him. While we were still hurting Him, He said, I still love you, and I want to save you. So this week, we're going to our next movie, and that movie is the 2008 movie Iron Man. And now I know there are quite a few people who are not fans of the superhero genre and the movies. It has dominated almost for the last 20 years. And I know that this movie was what kind of started it all with the superhero movies. But if you've never seen this one, I'm going to tell you this one's a little different because it's not so much about the superpowers, okay? There's a lot more going on than just someone having superpowers here. So the main character is Tony Stark, and he is Iron Man. And Tony Stark is said to be a genius. He graduated from MIT in his teenage years. He built an empire that is super powerful. He is a billionaire that can have it all. And I want to tell you, Tony Stark, he has no superpowers. What Tony Stark has is super money, okay? That's the truth of it. He's rich beyond you could even imagine. And on top of that, with his genius paired with it, he can almost do anything. And the best way that Tony has built up this empire and become a billionaire is by making weapons. His company is the number one weapons manufacturer in the world. Tony goes to this war zone to demonstrate some of his new amazing weapons that everybody can see. And he goes, this is how you're going to win. You're going to win with our weapons. And so he's on his way back from the demonstration, and Tony's convoy is then attacked. He is blown up and he's captured. But the irony is, he is actually blown up by a rocket that says Stark on it. It was his own weapon that blew him up. And so what we have here is that irony with everything that happened there, but he is captured, and they say, you need to build these new rockets for us. And Tony decides, okay, I'm going to go ahead and build something, but he does not build these new awesome rockets. While Tony is captured, instead he makes his first Iron Man suit instead of those rockets. And if you have no clue what I'm talking about with an Iron Man suit, I would say go check it out. But just think of a giant metal suit that can almost do anything. Anything you want and you can dream of, he puts it into one of those suits. But in this one, he can fly, he can shoot guns, he can do all kinds of crazy things with it. And that's how Tony escapes capture, is with this suit he's made. So after he gets out of capture and out of this cave, the Americans, they find him and they bring him home. And that's where we're going to pick up today, is right after he was found and he's coming home. So what we saw here is Tony Stark is back and he called a press conference. Tony saw the truth. He saw for the first time that what he was doing was wrong, that it was harming people. He said, you know what, this is not the way it should be. And instead of trying to slowly phase it out, and instead of putting it on the back burner, well, let's go ahead and sit on this for a while. Instead of having 50 board meetings and meeting over the next 2 years about what to do, Tony stands up and he says, you know that thing that made us all rich, that gave us everything that the world has to offer? He says, yeah, no, we're done with this. It's finished. We're no longer going to be doing this. We're no longer going to be living for this. Tony took a stand to do what is right. Even though it meant that he could lose everything, those who were once his friends are now his enemies. Tony literally put everything that he has in this life on the line to stand up for what is right. And as followers of Christ, we are called to do the same thing. Now, not all of us are billionaire geniuses like me and Tony, okay? I want to make that clear. But what we can relate to is that we have to stand up for the truth. We have to stand up for what is good. And what is true and what is good is one thing and one thing alone. That's God. God is what's true. God is what's good. And His word right here is what will teach us and show us. That is the truth, that this life that we are given is to follow God and glorify Him alone. And we read this throughout the Bible over and over again. But saying these words and living this out can be very different. When it comes to this life, as humans, the goal, we are told, is to be like Tony Stark. We want to have the power. We want to have the money. We want to have the brains to truly be in control and live a life where we can do whatever we want. But the problem is, that leaves us lost and feeling empty. I have personally known so many people who have tried to live that life, and they did gain so much. They have the money, they have the power, they have the family, the friends, the women, all of those things. And you know what happens? It all falls flat. They're always left wanting more, saying, if this is it, what is this life for? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to go ahead and turn to Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Verse 25, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So this is part of the teaching from Jesus that is called the Sermon on the Mount. And the part that we're focusing on has a couple different things going on, but it starts off with, what are we living for? It says, do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where they will ultimately be destroyed, be stolen, or literally anything else could happen to it. And this is so hard for us. We struggle with this concept. So I like to think of it in this way. So we want this car. There's this specific car that we're like, I'm saving up for it. One day I'm going to own it. We may even say, I want this perfect house. This is what's going to be great. You know what? I'm going to set myself up for retirement. That's what I'm working for. We want our kids to have everything that they need to live a life of comfort so they can make it. But the truth is, stuff is just stuff. And when our lives are to work to get more things, you're going to find yourself lost and empty. Everything on this earth has a shelf life. It will never last forever. But let's be honest. When we've saved up for that new car that we have wanted so badly, and we finally get it, what do? We kind of covet it. We say, oh, this is mine. And we want to show people. We go, look at the car. Don't touch it. Do not touch that car. You know what? I don't want you looking at it too hard. You might change the paint color. You know, I don't want you to sniff near it. You know, we get kind of weird and we're like, nope, you can't eat in this. I don't want you eating near it. And we just sit there and go, I worked so hard to get this and it's finally here. And so what we do is we put this really high price value on it, and it's higher than what the sticker even said. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes that sticker price is high and we're like, nope, it's worth so much more than that. But you have to know, it will not last. The engine could fall out the minute you take it off the lot. I've actually had a friend that happened to. Someone swerves and swipes that new car that you worked so hard for. A kid is mowing next door. He runs over a rock and it shoots out the side and it hits your beautiful new vehicle. The truth is, all the things that we try to get here, they fall apart. It's not actually treasure. It doesn't really have any worth. Anything that doesn't last doesn't actually have worth. Someone once said to me, I want you to know, everything here on this earth, if you truly think about it, it's junk. Because one day, it will be someone's junk. It will mean nothing as time goes on. And that is why Jesus gives that next line in verse 20. But there is a real gift. There is a real treasure. There is something that truly matters, and that is God. That is your eternity with God. That is heaven. And let's not get this wrong. Okay, you can't take cool things with you to heaven. When he says store up your treasures in heaven, he's not saying work for that thing you want and then you'll take it with you, okay? You're not going to have a really cool motorcycle in heaven, all right? That's not how that works. No, what he's saying is a true treasure, something that will never go away, is your salvation. You'll get to be face to face with God. When I started going through this and writing my sermon up, I was really thinking about, is there something on this earth that I would not give up for God? And I sat back and I said, you know what? I don't care what is here. I would give up everything I own on this planet to ensure that I am going to be with God, that I'm following Him. I will serve Him and Him alone. And that is the importance that Jesus is pushing here. He's saying your salvation cannot be taken from you. It's never going to fade. And neither will the love that God has for you. It's never going away. You will get to have this amazing relationship with God for all eternity, and we should be working on that relationship now. And the way to do that is to serve Him while you're here. And Jesus gives us this smack upside the head to look at your heart in verse 21. Because the truth is, what you consider treasure, what you assign value in this life, he says that's where your heart is going to be. Meaning that if you live to gain stuff, that's where your heart is. It's not for God. If you live for family and you say, family is everything, this matters more than anything else, you have to know that's your treasure. That's where your heart is. And that means it's not for God first. If you live in this life to be powerful, to be remembered, to gain as much as you can so people can go, wow, they were so amazing, that is your treasure. That is where your heart is, and it's not for God first. And this is such a harsh reality. This is something that we have a hard time truly taking in. As Jesus goes, and he goes as far to say, you cannot have the things of the world and God. If you're going for both, if your first thing is, hey, I want money first, that means you're not serving Him. I want to clear this up really quick. You can have money. You can have stuff. You can be rich in this life and still follow God. It's all about where is your heart? Is He first? Because you can serve God with your money. You can serve God with your stuff. But is your love for the treasures that you have now? And Jesus says, if you are looking to heaven, if you are focusing on God and not in this world, He says, you will be full of light. What does that mean? You will be full of God because God is light. But then He says, if your focus, though, is on the things of this world, then your whole being is full of darkness because you're not looking to Him. He's not working through you. This is literally the opposite of everything we are told to do in this life. Like, this is a very simple truth that we have to hear, is that nothing on this earth, nothing that can be offered here, can even compare to what God can do for you. And so we look at this and we go, wait, I've been told, work for this thing you want. Work for the vacation. Live for your family. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. And then you get this last line that He gives there. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and things. You cannot serve God and live for everything in this world. It's not about spending money. It's not about gaining material wealth. It's not about familial wealth. We have to live this life completely for the Almighty. And then the next verses, they flow right into this. So if we are not to go out and live to make a paycheck, as I've heard this argument where they're like, well, so I'm not supposed to work. No, okay, that's not what this is saying. Well, I can't have a job. God said so. No, that's not what this is actually saying here. What it's saying is, why are you getting up in the morning? What are you living for? Because we have to make money. It's just something that's necessary here on this earth. It's what we are called to do, but those jobs that we have are still to serve and glorify Him. Again, it's about your heart. When you get up in the morning, are you going another day to make some money? We have to know, what do you live this life for? If it's not for God, it's time to change your focus. But Jesus gives us this amazing reminder. He says, stop worrying about the things that you need. Life is so much more than just your next meal and clothes. I don't like that line in there where He says, isn't life more than food? I guess, but it's awesome. Like, it's a wonderful thing. But He's saying it's really not the most important thing. He says, God feeds the birds of the field. He clothes the flowers in all of their beauty. And He loves us so much more than the birds and the flowers. He will also take care of you. But it's verse 27 that just rings so true to me. And He says, what does worrying even get you? Does it add more time to your day? Does it fix your problems that you're having by sitting down and worrying about it? Does it actually fix anything in your life when you just sit down and worry? And we know the answer to this. It's so simple. But yet we still struggle. If you did not know this, I'm going to tell you maybe for the first time, you cannot add time to your life by worrying. Actually, it does the exact opposite. It sucks time away from your life because you're sitting there worrying about things that you can't change or control. Instead of worrying about this life, instead of worrying about your bills, worrying about buying that new car, buying all the things that you want, go to verse 33. It says, instead, this is what you should do. Seek what truly matters. Seek first His kingdom. Seek first His righteousness. Instead of dreaming on what we want to buy next, we should be chasing after God's perfect plan. We should be chasing to be in His loving arms because we know He's going to take care of us. That was a harsh reality for me to sit back and go through as I'm sitting here thinking, do I ever dream for that day on how I'm going to be with God? No. I think about, well, what work I got to do. I got to worry about the kids and my wife and things around the house and people of the church. And I'm sitting there trying to plan out my day of what I'm supposed to do when I should be getting up going, God, I'm running at You, man. I'm coming. What do You want me to do? Let me be in Your arms. Teach me, show me, lead me. That's what we should be doing. And it reminds me of some verses from 1 John 2. We're going to turn to 1 John 2, 15 through 17. These words are going to hit hard. 1 John 2, 15 through 17, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. This just reiterates everything that Jesus was teaching with the Sermon on the Mount. These things that we can get here, the things that we long for from this earth, flat out it says it will pass away. It will not last. It is not eternal. But whoever does the will of God, that's eternal. Your salvation's eternal. God's love is eternal. Meaning when we stand up for the truth, when we stand with God, we get to be with Him. And you can do that right here and now. But more importantly, you're going to be with Him for all eternity when we leave this place. So we have to ask the question, this is all beautiful, wonderful, great, and amazing. How do we do that? What does that look like? I don't even know where to start. And so we're going to go ahead and turn to Colossians 3, 1 through 17. Now this comes from Paul, and he has some beautiful words that'll strike you to the heart. Colossians 3, 1 through 17 says, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So what we're going to look at here is those first four lines. When you know the truth about Jesus Christ, when you say, "Yes, I know that Jesus is Lord. I know that Jesus paid the price on the cross for my sins," and then we give our life to Him, we are told you are raised with Christ. You are no longer dead in your sin, and because we are no longer dead, we need to set our hearts on things above. Not the desires that we have here, to set our minds on things above, not the earthly things that are around us. And we get this short list of what to stay away from. And so I want to say, this is not all of it though, so if you're saying, "I'm good, I don't do any of those things," all right? It's not the only thing that we need to look at in our lives. It's anything we are doing against God or putting before God. But what I want you to know is when we say stay away from these things, that's not strong enough language, and that's not what they said here. It says, put it to death. That means kill it. Those desires, those sins that you want to do, destroy them, bury them. Let it never be something that has a hold of you. It no longer rules your life. It is not the only thing that you live for. And it says, you once lived this way. We all did. We all lived to give in to our own wants and desires. And Jesus set us free from that. And as I said, this is not the full list of things that are hurting us. But when we see these things, we can sit back and go, "Yeah, those are not good things. I don't read this list here and go, oh, you know what? That one's not so bad. I'll be all right. No, we look at all of those and we say, yeah, those are hurting me. But then you get in verse 12, where it starts off with things that we should be clothing ourselves with. And I love the wording there, to clothe ourselves. It's because these are things that we should be putting on daily. We have to take the action and wear these things on our bodies for the whole world to see, not hidden in your thoughts. Well, I know what God's telling me to do, but I'm not going to actually show it to the world. No, we have to show what we represent. Most of us are wearing something with a brand or a name or a style that people are going to recognize on our clothes. I have shirts that have a big name across it that says Old Navy, or I have some that say Vans on it, or the shirt I'm wearing today. What am I supporting? Buckeye Christian Church. People are going to look at this and go, oh, okay, so you're a churchgoer, or you stand for something because it's right here. And God is saying, represent me all day, every day. Clothe yourselves with these things. Stand up and do what is right in God's eyes and not in other people's eyes. When they look at you and go, oh, you're just hateful. You're disgusting. How could you believe in these things? We can say, because I know the truth. It's not going to be accepted by all. No way. You might get hate from loved ones, hate from people who said that they support you. You may lose business. You may lose money. You may lose land. You literally have potential to lose everything that this world has to offer when we stand up for the truth. But here's another truth. If you stand up for God and you lose everything that's here on this earth, that's okay. We sit back and go, no, it's not. I don't want to do that. We don't want that, no. But it's going to be okay if you do lose everything the earth has to offer. And it's because they cannot take your true treasure away. They cannot take your salvation away. They cannot take the love that God has for you away. It is never gone. And verse 17 is to help us do all that. He flat out says, whatever you do, whatever it is that you say, whatever you're speaking, and whatever your actions look like, may every action reflect that you are loved and saved by God. And it doesn't matter what the world does to us. That's a scary thought process. The last thing we want to do is lose everything we have worked for. We're afraid of losing the things that keep us comfortable. But you have to take comfort in the only truth that matters. God loves you. God has salvation for you. You need to accept it and follow Him.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.